for $30 to take you and your wife for a date or something is kind of
You're a date or your wife, just either one, Scott. Yeah. If you're feeling frisky,
maybe $45 then, right?
Hey,
there you go.
For the website nerdappropriate.com. We are back after a very, very short hiatus. We did a brief E3 show minus Scott, and he's back so that he can yell about it.
I'm back.
This podcast.
Yeah. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you
very much. Can you tell us what secret adventure you were on? Because we didn't know.
Yeah, that's a funny story, right? I was supposed to go see Ben Folds 5 on Friday for my birthday, and through the luck of the draw, I had front row seats for the show.
What?
I was pretty stoked about the show.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. And 3 days before, they canceled the show and refunded the tickets.
Not happy birthday.
So fuck you, Ben Folds. I went to the beach.
There you go.
And then
you look like you got some sun. You got color in those cheeks.
Turned out to be a good weekend, nonetheless, with less driving, and I'm happy to be back. And I finished Rayman Origins. And that was
awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty much the extent of my weekend while you guys were podcasting.
Yes.
The whole time. We podcasted all weekend long.
Yeah.
It was a long podcast. It took 23 hours to cut it down to an hour and a half. So it was a lot of podcasting.
Was it an hour and a half? I thought I got it to like 1:15.
Oh, I just assumed. I didn't actually look.
Yeah. Well, we had said
that was
like
a lot of editing.
Yeah, we had said like, oh, it's going to be like an hour long podcast, and I really held true to that to try to keep it as brief. I think I cut out one argument. There was one argument I cut out.
I don't know. There were a couple present. Good job.
No, I left some in because I wanted to leave some arguments in, and then I cut at least one argument out, and then I don't remember. I cut out like there was a long talk about IE that was totally pointless that I cut out. We had we had a big marketing discussion that at some point I cut out, I think.
Yeah, that's boring.
I can't wait for Matt and Hillary to actually meet at Comic-Con this year, and I just want to see if they beat the shit out of each other.
The sky will crack.
You never know what's going to happen.
It's going to be a fucking bloodbath.
Oh, jeez. So I'm back, and now Ash is gone, right?
Yeah. So I'm podcasting from a cabin in the woods, literally. And I'm not exaggerating. And I'm in what's known as my sister's room, and it's canary yellow with like pink stuff everywhere.
Wait, and, what's known as? Wait,
it's
what?
Known as my sister's room. Well, my sister actually doesn't live here, so we just call it the sister's room. But she's here like a week out of the year, so we call it the sister's room. But that's not even the fun part of the story. So I'm here at this cabin, and I get here, and I was telling you guys when I got here, there was a big thunderstorm, and it knocked out the one cell phone tower in the entire town.
Oh, no.
And so in order to get cellular reception, we have to drive 9 miles. but it got repaired today, so our cell phones are back. And my dad had forgotten his his password for his DSL, so we had no idea how to get on the internet. And both my wife and I were like kind of running around like, what do we do with our lives? It was really sad. It was really sad. And then what else? Oh, there's 6 dogs here. So if you ever hear like this thunderous explosion of dogs barking, that would be the 6 dogs that are currently surrounding me. Wow. It is intense. I slept about an hour and a half last night, which is kind of bogus, but whatever. I get to sit on a plane tomorrow. So that's my story. Yeah.
Hillary, what have you been doing for the past 2 days?
I saw Prometheus. Yay.
Awesome.
Yay.
Awesome.
I wrote a blog post.
Might I say
about
that Hillary kind of looks like Harley Quinn from the new DLC right now with the evil pigtails going?
Minus the slutty nurse costume.
Hey.
I assume you're wearing clothes, just not a slutty nurse costume, is what I'm saying.
Where's this podcast?
I kind of look like I'm not wearing clothes, so I promise I am. See, green tank top. Yay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So thank you, I guess.
We picked up 10 new listeners, by the way. Thanks, 10 new listeners. Welcome.
Wait, did they sense somehow that we were talking about it? How did we know?
It works for radio all the time, and it's totally unexplainable.
Retweets. Yeah,
because on radio, all they have to do is go, we got chicks in the studio. And it's like, okay, we can't see them, but that's cool, I guess. You know, like, Such a
did you guys know that on XM or Sirius XM, whatever, they have like a spice channel?
You are digging a deep hole.
Okay, we should have done the editing this time.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. Let's just cut all that out.
Let's do the rundown.
All right. So today we have some Skyrim news, which is, of course, one of my favorite things. We have an update on 38 Studios, an interesting article about video game consumption, some Nerd Headquarters, something about San Diego Comic-Con that Ash is going to talk about. And then we have some news about Max Payne on mobile.
And Apple news today, too.
And Apple News, because
WWDC.
We're all very excited about that. Okay. And then we have some reviews. Scott's going to talk about E3. Might talk about something about Prometheus. We might have some Snow White and the Huntsman news. And then we have, of course, our question of the week and some really fantastic answers from that.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Matt, have you talked about what you've been doing for the past 2 days?
No.
Excellent. Well, then we won't do it.
Yeah.
Yes, because he's on the East Coast. Just kidding.
That didn't even make sense. I went to the movies. I saw Snow White, finally.
Sweet.
Still reading the second, what book is it?
Hunger Games?
Yes.
Hunger
Games. It got a lot better. I got really worried. And then it got better, so I'm okay with it again. And then, that's it. So cool. Those two things, we can move forward.
I will echo Hillary's sentiment from earlier podcasts. I'd like to hear your thoughts about the end of the trilogy when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
There's like a weird, creepy child walk out, and then you...
No. I just want to know what you think.
Choose your own adventure, and you like pick the ending of the book?
No.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Reading that.
Although one book is red and one book is blue, and I think the other book is black.
That's true.
It is true.
Retake Hunger Games. Let's do it.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyways.
Hold the line.
Oh mercy.
Oh, the other thing is I did do one other thing this weekend. This is funny. A little funny anecdote I'll tell quickly. My cable box. I've had cable since I moved up to New York. And which is only news because if you listen to older episodes, I cut the cord like a year and a half ago. And for some reason, when I came up, I got cable again. But anyways, I had the same cable box up here that I used to have when I had Bright House in Orlando 7 years ago. And that's not an exaggeration. The same exact box.
Suck.
Oh, shit.
So it started crapping up really bad. And I had unplugged it at one point so that my internet connection would be stronger because the split signal was running like shit. It just was, you know, classic crappy cable company. And Melissa was up here and she's like, you know, I want to watch what is it? Chrissy watches it too, Ash.
Teen Wolf.
Yes, Teen Wolf.
Wow.
She wants to watch Teen Wolf, and I was like, that's fine. There's some shows that I enjoy on cable, so we'll plug it. Like, I like No Reservations and stuff, so I was like, we'll plug it back in. So I hook the cable box back in, it like tries to recycle, and then I get a message that's like, sorry, your cable box is not, like, you don't have this service. Please call to turn it on. And I was like, that's weird, because I know I'm paying for it. So I call and I say, hey, my cable box won't turn back on. And he's like, oh, okay, well, hold on just a second. He's like, clickety clickety clack, how about now? And I go, nope, still the same thing. He's like, oh, how long have you had it unplugged? I go, oh, I don't know, man, it's been unplugged for a while, probably, you know, over a month, maybe two. And he goes, oh yeah, if you leave your cable box unplugged for more than 30 days, it becomes no longer usable.
Wait, what?
Wow.
Yeah, let's put the logic together for that one. If I leave the box unplugged from the wall for 30 days or more and then plug it back in, it's as if a time bomb went off inside of the box and it is no longer usable. You can't ever get it turned back on for your service. You have to drive it back to Time Warner and get a new box. But the good news is I drove it back and I gave it to the lady and I laughed and I was like, do you have one that's older or newer than ancient? And she started laughing. She was like, that's a really old box. I'm like, I know, I had it 7 years ago in a different state. And she's like, She's like, oh, no problem. Hold on. I got like a brand new like Cisco box. It's small and black and it's got like high def everything and a bigger hard drive and it works better.
Thank God.
So it's cool. It actually works really well now, but I got my cable back. But yeah. And
same
then
software
like,
though, right? Same
yeah,
software.
Same shitty, horrible software. And then she's like, it says here you signed up for Roadrunner Turbo. And I said, yeah. She goes, you don't actually have it. That modem doesn't do it. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah.
Did you get a credit?
You have to bring that modem back. I go, well, that's why I said, I was like, I think I've been paying for it. She's like, no, your bill never changed. She's like, you just signed up for it and never completed. And I was like, oh, so shit. I signed up for it. It never completed. And none of you called me to let me know that that went wrong. And she was like, yeah, I guess not. I'm like, how do you operate as a business?
Oh, it's cable company.
The sales guy that day was probably just like, I got a sale. I'm going on break.
News.
So there is a new patch coming out from Skyrim, and Hillary has some info, and she is excited.
I am excited. It's of course in preparation for Dawnguard to come out, but the 1.6 patch adds mounted combat, so you can ride Shadowmere or horse of choice and kill things while riding your horse, which is pretty cool. Hooray!
That is pretty awesome.
Have you tried the Xbox? Have you tried the Kinect support yet?
I have not.
Like, have you been like, Skyrim, mount my horse?
Oh, God. You
guys' name
there.
Is Skyrim, right? I don't know anything about the game.
No, so the Kinect support is you can actually do the different dragon shouts, but it forces you to memorize, like, the dragon language. And some of us, we know a few dragon shouts, you know, okay. Good old Fus-ro-da, but I don't think any of us have all 30 dragon shouts memorized. Maybe some people do. I don't know.
Okay.
I totally won't sound crazy yelling that out in my apartment either.
Yeah, right?
For real. That would be fantastic.
Now, I heard a little bit about this mounted combat, and I heard that you cannot cast spells while mounted. You have to only do melee combat. So I don't know how you feel about that. Did you play a caster or a melee character?
No, I played a rogue.
You played a rogue. That's so good. Yeah, rogue is so good.
Yeah, basically, when given a choice, I always go for rogue. And I think I maxed out my archery first because it's just so awesome to creep around and be a silent assassin. So yeah.
I never did archery.
So awesome! I didn't really like it as much in Oblivion, but in Skyrim, it's so good.
Stuff was great in Skyrim.
Yeah. And backstab and all of that. It was announced last week, but I think we all were so inundated with E3 news that we didn't see this. But 38 Studios actually filed bankruptcy last week, and some of the monetary figures have come out, and they were $150 million in the rears. I'm waiting for a sick joke.
Uh-huh.
Waiting, yes. But they only had about $22 million of capital, so that's just goes to show you how much they had overextended themselves. And anyone who made that decision... it's sad, but
I have two thoughts on this. One is I read an article, I thought they said when they liquidated everything that they were going to be, everything was clear, essentially the state would get paid back. The state's pretty much getting all of their liquidation, and mm-hmm. that it's actually going to probably clear everything up. And the other was that do you think they were this far deep because they had made commitments that would have put them equally as deep to publishers if they pulled out halfway through without delivering?
Oh God.
I'm not being creepy. I'm being serious. So like, you know how contracts work. If they make a contract to say, hey, we're going to make this game, the publisher says, okay, cool. We're going to start working with you, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there's negatives to breaking the contract and not fulfilling the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty certain that whoever was manning the helm, at least on this portion, knew exactly what was happening and figured that the easiest way out was bankruptcy.
Yeah.
That was definitely a calculated thing, that it wasn't like, oops, I just lost $100 million.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, we're going to have to fire everybody. Yeah, no, they definitely did this on purpose. What I don't know, though, is you know, the stuff we talked about before with the mortgages and... you know, some of the other things that I read an article saying that they were going to personally go after the CEO. So I'm not sure what that is going to come out as. And I thought it was interesting that the state of Rhode Island actually said in a press conference that they thought that KOA was an absolute failure. So And it sold, what, like that's 2 ridiculous. Million games? 2 yeah. million copies? So it's not it's a failure, there. But yeah, I guess against projection.
It's kind of an overreaction. Well, I mean, like a political overreaction, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might be Rhode Island covering their ass, too. I mean, they just put a bunch of people on their asses, you know, yanked out their houses from them and everything, and here they are screwed, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, that's probably Rhode Island being like, whoa, we're not the bad guys here. Like, their game tanked. That's not our problem. They brought a loan they couldn't pull back on or whatever. It's still just a shitty situation. Hopefully the people that are
you guys probably took a look at that article, and it was floating around on a lot of other sites as well. But it does look like Epic is going to employ a good number of those guys. They're actually going to start a new studio with a whole lot of 38 people in Raleigh,
great.
Which is awesome. So that's really good news for them.
Apple held their WWDC conference today and announced some new products and features. Is anybody excited about that?
What
does WWDC stand for?
So, Worldwide Developers Conference.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's where they usually announce the new iPhones and they announce the new iOSs and all that kind of stuff.
So today, Apple announced like a next generation MacBook Pro with Retina display, 0.71 inches thick. Available today. You can buy it right now. They talked about what's going to be in the next version of OS X, as well as iOS 6, which is coming later this year. Some of the stuff in iOS 6 is that they're going to replace Google Maps with their own proprietary mapping system. They're going to include turn-by-turn directions. The operating system is going to have tighter integration with Twitter and Facebook. Let's see what else. Like, FaceTime over cellular.
That is huge news. Like, mm-hmm. So Google Maps got its footing on the back of the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Like, especially Google Maps Mobile got its placeholder on the net on the back of the iPhone. It wasn't on Android or anything. I mean, it was on Android, but that's not how they made their strides. And the fact that Apple left, and Apple, I would say, and I don't say this a lot over Google, but Apple innovated on the maps, and that they look good. I know you cracked a joke about it, but the maps look extremely good. The 3D looks amazing inside of it, all rendered real time. The traffic stuff that they're talking about doing, which is partly like crowdsourcing traffic, essentially,
is awesome.
You can quickly, while you're driving, report, you know, a hang up or an accident, and it just sends it right off to the map, and it kind of crowdsources areas of delays and how long things will take you and all.
That's really cool. That's a great idea.
Here's a good one. Let me get on my soapbox for a second. They also announced that they're going to have a feature called Eyes Free Siri, and they're going to build it into cars within the next 12 months. And basically, it's just a button that you push like on your steering wheel, and you can talk to Siri and get directions and do stuff like that, right? So, like, the point that I really want to drive home here is that it's not your hands and your eyes that create danger on the road when you're trying to use your cell phone. It's a matter of attention. So, like, it really kind of, like, irks me every time I see
But it's hands and eyes that are – that's what people have talked on phones for a very long time, and the accidents haven't risen until people started texting and, you know, looking at – Melissa freaked out when her sister – was watching YouTube videos. That's how she plays music in the car while driving. And you're like, what in God's name? Yeah.
Right.
Not watching them, but pulling them up and playing them. And that was like music in the car for her.
But my point is that aside from the obvious, like actually like holding the phone in your hand and like doing stuff with it, like the real problem with like using anything other than your car is that you're not paying attention to the road, even if you're looking at the road, and that like that's the problem.
I agree, but I think if you think of it, because I think the only reason I'm arguing it is that there's already companies like Ford, and mainly Ford, doing big initiatives of being able to talk to your car and have it do things while you're driving.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if you can say, Siri, I need to get to the camera shop, and it just pulls up your GPS and takes you where you need to go without you going like, I'm trying to, is it the right place? You know, like what they're doing is eliminating interaction. They're just letting you drive. I'd be willing to bet that they probably will instantiate rules about what you can even use while you're driving.
But even with some of those, like, especially like the in-car touchscreen, you know, GPS systems, like even those systems like have a disclaimer that it's like, don't use this while you're driving, but we're going to let you use it while you're driving. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there's a level.
It's limited. You can't use, I mean, you can't like totally program where you want to go in navigation, like in, you know.
Well, the other problem is they can't 100% limit it because if you're a passenger in the car.
No. Right. You know. But I mean, that's just my mini science rant about hands-free, eyes-free. It's a tension, you know.
I totally agree. But I think if it's used in the way that it's intended, which is to eliminate interaction and let you do things easy. I mean, that's Siri's whole point, isn't it? I mean,
Of course. So,
I used to play Hero Academy when I drove, by the way.
Right. Ash likes to check. That's when Ash reads Twitter, by the way, everyone, is when he's driving home from work.
Is anybody excited about these NBA products?
I mean, this is always the dull WWDC because it's usually just software and then like a MacBook refresh or an iMac refresh. It's rarely like a big deal because the new hotness is always the iPad and the iPhone, and that's always in the fall. So, you know, it's interesting. I what they did with iOS 6, I think, is cool because they're definitely knocking Google off the throne a little bit. So,
well, something that, I mean, this is like part of what I wanted to preview rant for my E3 discussion was that like they started off their conference by announcing a product and then telling you that you could buy it right now. You know what I mean? And everything that you see in E3 is like nowhere near available. Like you can't touch it.
Well, that's
Apple. You know what I'm saying?
That's Apple shindig, though. I mean, that's.
But I'm saying, like, that's. I mean, I feel like there's something to that. It's powerful. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, anyways, let's talk about NerdHQ.
Yeah. So, last year, Zachary Levi started a company called the Nerd Machine, which is just a little tiny startup he did while he was actually starring on Chuck, and he did it for fun with one of his friends, Dave, who was the prop master on Chuck, and they started this tiny little clothing brand. They had like a couple T-shirts, a couple hats. And slowly they've been growing the company. And last year, they're like, well, we want to go to Comic-Con and we want to like have our own thing at Comic-Con. So let's just start we'll rent out a little bar. We'll call it Nerd Headquarters. And we'll see, you know, who wants to sponsor it. And we'll have events and stuff like that. So last year, he had NerdHQ for the first time. And what he did is he set up a charity with Operation Smile. And it was called Conversations for a Cause. And what you could do is, it was only announced about 2 or 3 weeks before Comic-Con, you could pay like $20, and they were actually intimate small panels with some of, you know, our favorite people. Like they did a Firefly, they did a Chuck, you know, like basically all the shows that we really enjoy. And, you know, they did one for Epic Games, and there were like 20 of these different small panels. And 100% of the proceeds went from the ticket sales or those panels to Operation Smile, which helps kids that are suffering from cleft palates. On top of that, they ended up getting sponsored by Microsoft, and they had, I think, actually Microsoft and Capcom, and they had Dragon's Dogma there about a year early, and they had Gears of War 3 there a year early, and all these stations set up, and they had food, and it was just actually awesome. Like, my wife and I spent hours and hours and hours there. We went to three of the different conversations. We ended up seeing people like Danny Pudi and, you know, Olivia Munn, Allison Hayslip, and the cast of Firefly. And it was awesome. And we were like, you know, no more than, you know, 10 feet away from these people for a good hour and a half, just kind of talking, which was just awesome. And this year they're doing it again. And they rented a bigger space. The conversations are supposed to be comparable. They have not gone on sale yet. But if you are at all interested, if you're going to this year's Comic-Con and you want a unique, different experience, and you actually want to give some stuff to charity, keep your eye on the nerdmachine.com, because I believe the tickets are going to go on sale relatively soon. And they sell out very, very quickly, within about an hour. So you have to kind of keep your ears open for tickets to this thing.
They sound like this year, you know?
What's up?
Do you need to have a pass to get in?
No. So it's open to the public, but in order to get into the actual conversation portion of it, you actually have to have a ticket for that particular conversation. So each conversation is sold, you know, on its own. You just grab your ticket when you're there, and then you go upstairs and, you know.
But do you need a Comic-Con badge?
No,
you do not need a Comic-Con badge. It exists like independent of Comic-Con, but it goes on at the exact same time.
It's like EA's.
So like the BioWare base.
Yeah, like BioWare base or EA's booth.
It is a lot like BioWare base, yeah. This year, actually, they're being sponsored by Microsoft again, so they're going to have some new Microsoft stuff, and actually they're going to have Tomb Raider playable for the first time on 40 stations, which they just announced the other day, so that's cool. If you want to get your hands on the new Tomb Raider for free, you don't need a Comic-Con pass or anything, go down to the – the Nerd HQ at Comic-Con. So I'm definitely going to try and get a hold of a couple tickets. I don't know who's going to be there yet, but last year was pretty awesome.
Sweet. That's really cool.
It's like a good, decompress too, right? Where it's not so like.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was basically like, if you can imagine like your typical like hole in the wall bar, that's pretty much the room that you had the conversation I'm using finger quotes in. And basically it was just all Q&A. I'm like, you sat there like the cast of Firefly and they just talked about the show for an hour with a lot of fans. And then afterwards you're guaranteed a signing with whoever is there. So, you just kind of line up and hang out and talk. And it was just awesome. It was like one of my fondest Comic-Con memories after going for, almost a decade now. It was
That's
great.
Amazing.
Wow. Awesome.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
I will be doing it this year with Melissa. So
awesome. I will keep my eyes open about this, about when they go on sale. So I'll let you guys know as soon as I find out. Yes.
I just got word that I will be at the Bioware base. So cool. I'll be there.
Well, everyone listening, go say hi to Hillary and pull her pigtails.
Wait, what?
Actually, don't do that.
That's hey.
But that's cool. You're working Bioware base. Awesome. That's really
I'm
fun.
Yeah, Bioware base. Yeah, it'll be fun.
You may see us kind of slink by and go, let us get past the line. And then you'll say, sure,
I cannot do that because I am there to hold the line.
Whatever.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, to hold
you
the line.
You should use that on people. That's hilarious.
That is good.
Oh, I will. I've gotten so much love from the community.
I'll bring you pop chips.
Right. Yeah, oh, please don't. I'm so over that.
How can you be over pop chips? Wait.
No, because that weekend I was like, oh, these are amazing. I've never seen these before. Outstanding. They're only 100 calories a bag. That's amazing. And then I was like, munch, munch, munch. A couple hours later, munch, munch, munch. A couple hours later, munch, munch. Oh, God.
When Melissa lived in Florida and I was still up here, I think I flew, I was on 16 separate flights or something. So it was some ridiculous amount of flights in 5 months. Most of them were JetBlue and they served pop chips and that was my jam. I was on that shit every day.
That's your jam.
It was so good.
They're great. There's something magical. But in Hillary's defense, even I was just there covering Bioware Base last year and I wasn't even obviously working it. And I probably had about 25 bags because they were free. They're free. Yeah. And food at Comic-Con is like so rare. And they're like, here, have all these pop chips. They cost nothing. And you're like, are you serious? I just like stuff them in my pockets like a hobo.
Yeah, and just like PAX East, there wasn't a whole lot of time to break for lunch. I mean, I know BioWare has great intentions and they're like, yeah, just let someone know when you want to go eat. But there's so much going on that literally like I feel guilty. I'm like, I'm here to promote the brand that I love. I don't want to leave. So having those pop chips there to keep me from like passing out was a good thing. But you can't eat too many of them. You absolutely can.
Life lessons here on Rated NA Podcast.
Don't eat too many pop chips.
You will pop. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
You're welcome, everybody.
So last up, Max Payne is going to be on Android in a timely manner for the first time ever created.
So it's actually coming out on Thursday, this Thursday. It'll be on Android. And I guess apparently it's already out on iOS.
Of course it is.
Of course.
Don't worry, Matt. It only came out on iOS in April.
Are you serious?
I think so.
God.
I didn't know that. I don't know. I'm a late adopter to that. I'm usually like a pretty early adopter on things, but for some reason I'm not really into the whole playing games on my mobile that are, like Xbox titles.
How about this though, Hillary, because I know you have one. What if it came out on your Fire?
I don't know because I think Max Payne, I played on PS3 and I'm thinking that I want it to stay on my PS3.
Well, the first Max Payne game.
This is the original, though, right?
Yeah, the first game was like a total acid trip. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it would translate to mobile at all, but, cool. It's $3 now. Go get it,
Yeah.
There you go.
Something to play. I just wish they would put them out in some sort of timely manner.
Simultaneously, yeah.
It doesn't even have to be simultaneous. If it came out on iOS and then like 2 weeks later it came out, or even a month later at the very worst, I'd be okay with it. But this like weird 6 month delay that we end up on, or a year delay, or whatever it is, it's just obnoxious. It's like, it makes no sense to me.
All right, so we will be right back with a whole bunch of reviews, including the much loved Prometheus and the much reviled Snow White and the Huntsman.
Prometheus. Isn't that exciting?
I'm jealous.
Are you? Should be.
I am jealous as well.
Good.
I'm jealous as well.
If you go to the website right now, nerdappropriate.com, you'll see my review, but it was amazing. And I'm actually pretty sad that there are people in the world that believe that it's not the best movie ever.
Why do you think
it really,
that happens?
It's really great. Because the internet is full of haters and trolls.
In all honesty, though, why do you think the community is so polarized about this film? I mean, granted, we did wait a very long time for another Ridley Scott alien movie, but there are a lot of people that say it's not even actually worth the price of a ticket, and a lot of people like yourself who really believe that this is a phenomenal film. So why is there this discrepancy?
Well, I mean, I guess I can understand. I mean, if you take something like Star Wars, for instance, and, you know, that was a trilogy that was made 20 years before, you know, Phantom Menace came out. And when they reawakened that joy and passion for that particular franchise, people got really upset when Jar Jar came on screen, or when the movie just didn't measure up to what they expected their childhood movie experience to be like. I mean,
anything would have made those people happy, to be honest with you.
No, and you're right. But to be fair, I mean, I wasn't that big of a fan of Phantom Menace, and the Star Wars 4 through 6 are like my favorite movies of all time. So, I mean, I can understand that pain, but Prometheus is such a great movie that even if it did some things wrong, I mean, maybe there were plot holes that I just didn't realize. I'm a huge Aliens fan and I love that universe, but, you know, perhaps I'm not as invested in the lore, so I'm not going to get offended if something's not 100% right. But if you take the movie for just entertainment, and I mean, it was like, you know, 2 hours and 4 minutes of an absolute adventure and really cool stuff and new ideas and, you know, an interesting way to look at what could potentially be, you know, the start of the human race. I mean, it's just a really cool concept, and I thought it was really well done. So if you take aside, you know, the emotional component of someone who's like really into aliens, you know, it's an amazing film. I mean, but I'm a huge Aliens fan, and even I like thought it was awesome. I mean, you're not going to see Sigourney Weaver, but you weren't intended to see Sigourney Weaver, you know?
Yeah, so absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, do you think a lot of the a lot of people that have problems with this? I mean, it was written by mainly Damon Lindelof, who was one of the main writers on Lost, and a lot of people have accused him of not being able to finish a story.
Right.
And a lot of people said that the ending of Prometheus is one of the controversial things as well. So do you think
spoilery?
Yeah. So we haven't seen it. So without getting too spoilery, did you have an issue with the ending?
It was a surprise. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it was I did not expect that ending. And for me, it was a happy surprise because it wasn't just the cookie cutter ending that you know, could have happened. So, but there's a lot of things that happened in the film that I wasn't expecting. So that's probably what made me enjoy it so much. I can absolutely see, you know, people getting upset about red herrings or, you know, dead end roads and, you know, plot wise. I mean, I don't know. I thought I set it up. It was set up pretty well for a sequel. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I didn't go in thinking that I was going to understand every nuance of what was being presented to me, because, you know, if it is something that's setting the foundation for future movies, there has to be some mystery, right? I mean, you can't have it's, I hate movies that like lay everything out on a plate and say, here you go. You know, I kind of like that thought provoking. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, at least it's opening us up for debate, right? I mean, that's
absolutely,
that's a sign of a good movie.
I think that, I think it had, you know, from having not seen it yet, I think it had kind of poor expectation management leading up to it. They did the old, like, and Damon Lindelof loves doing this, where he'll create a bunch of mystery and then be like, no one's allowed to say a word about anything about this movie. Like, I saw Charlize Theron on Colbert, and she was there to promote Snow White, and he brought up Prometheus, and she was like, you know, I'm not allowed to say a word about that. And he like made a jokey question about it, and she was like, seriously, I'm not going to say anything. And she just wouldn't talk about the movie. And it has, what it ends up doing is just building this like, oh my God, this movie's going to shatter all belief systems I've ever had, you know? Yeah. And then it's like, and then when it's just a good movie, everybody's like, oh, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. Why did I waste $15 on it or whatever? And you're like, well, you probably still got 2 hours of entertainment out of it, right? I mean, it is like a prolific director and a great writer with a amazing cast putting together like an awesome effects driven movie. It seems like that's probably pretty good. Like,
Well, I mean, to that, I mean, I have two things to say. The first one being, that's interesting that you brought that up, considering that I reacted so poorly about Beyond for the same reason. You know, it was presented to me at E3 as being something, and then when I saw the trailer, I was like, that's not what I expected. So then I automatically hated it. So, but the second thing is there is like a belief system involved with this. It does provoke you to question, you know, what is your beliefs or what are your beliefs, or, you know, is Christianity the truth, or what does it mean to be a true believer? You know,
is
what
Jesus
do you actually
really
think?
The space jockey? Tell me the truth.
Right. I can't spoiler tell alert. You that.
Let me ask a different question so we can avoid the spoiler minefield. Is this a movie that we should see in 3D, or was it not actually a 3D movie?
No, it was probably one of the best movies I've ever seen in 3D because it wasn't like in your face 3D. Like you don't have like things like tossed at you. You know,
was it shot in 3D?
I don't think this was shot in 3D though.
I don't know.
Probably just had a really awesome conversion, but I'm almost 100% positive he didn't shoot it in 3D.
I don't think he did.
All right.
But it looks so amazing in 3D. I mean, it really does wrap you up and make you immersed
in it. Did you see it in IMAX 3D or just regular old? Of course. You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was amazing.
So you say it's a go-see, despite anything you might hear to the contrary.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you want to see a huge, huge space epic
absolutely
awesome movie in the theater? I mean, whether or not you want to choose, whether or not you believe that the lore is on par, just for the fact that it's 2 hours of amazing movie that is really suited for a big screen, I mean, that's a reason to go.
I think just the fact that Ridley Scott's name is on it is a reason to go, but that's just me, so.
Yeah, and
really quick, in your excellent review, which is up on nerdappropriate.com, you mentioned one scene shook you so to the core that you actually had to get up and walk out of the theater because you were going to spew.
I love how you automatically make it about vomiting. No, it wasn't that.
I make most things about vomiting. That's just who I am. Okay.
No, actually, it was weird because the scene actually happened and I watched it in its entirety and I was like, wow, that is a really awesome scene. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before. And it was like when I started putting the pieces together, then all of a sudden I started associating, which is where I always go bad. And I'm kind of a weird like overthinker, so I can freak myself out pretty quickly. So then after the scene, I was like, oh wow, wow, what did I just see? Oh my God, what did I just see? Oh God, what if that happened to me? Oh God. And then the like dizzy, like kind of, it's getting hot in here, like, oh no. Oh, wow. So I actually had to like get up and go outside for just a minute because I didn't want to miss the movie because I mean it's that good. But I stood outside for a moment, took a deep breath, and then went back in the theater. And the person that I was seeing it with also had to do that. So it was interesting that two of us had reacted because it was so real.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
Yeah, and it's not like, cool. You know, I can watch like horror movies where heads are blowing up or even, you know, like scenes where someone's getting bottle capped, you know. I mean, that stuff doesn't bother me, but this one was so, I don't know, too close to home, I think.
Yeah.
All but right. When I looked around the audience, other people were reacting. So, awesome. I mean,
well, that's cool though. I like to hear stuff like that. Any reaction at all is good. Most of the time when I go to the movies lately, I'm just kind of like bored to tears. So that's that's a good thing.
I don't think you'll be bored with Prometheus. I suggest you see it.
Awesome.
Speaking of bored to tears, let's talk about Snow White and the Huntsman. Oh.
Well, okay. So, Hillary, you and I agree quite a bit on this movie.
What?
Yes. Melissa and I went and saw, we were going to go see a movie. We left. The intention was originally we were going to try and do three movies over the weekend, and schedule got really crazy. So we only pulled off one. We were too late to see the Avengers, and she wants to see Snow White. And I was like, you know, I heard the effects were really awesome. I heard it was actually an okay movie. Let's go see it.
You mean you read the appropriate review?
I did read your review. As much as you think I didn't read your review, I read your review. I somehow missed the tequila part, but everything else I caught. Or wait, was it the other review that I missed the tequila? I don't remember. So anyways, so we went in, we watched it, and I walked out. I try not to hate Kristen Stewart because I have never fully watched any of the Twilight movies. I've only caught like snippets of it. And she hasn't really done much else, other than the one biopic. What was that? The Runaways?
The Runaways, yeah.
She is just not good. She's just not a good actress. Like, I was trying to think back into Panic Room, whether I liked her in that even when she was like a little kid. And I don't think I liked her in that either. And she's just like mouth open the whole time. Like, she makes these weird twitchy facial expressions that sometimes have like no relevance to what's going on in the scene, it feels like. And it just felt wrong. It felt really poorly cast. And like, Chris Hemsworth and her have zero chemistry, negative chemistry. They looked like, I don't know what that was all about, because they didn't look like they got along the entire time. And the weird shoehorned in prints that didn't need to be there in the first place was weird. And then the one thing I noticed, and I can't remember if you wrote this in the article or not, there weren't a lot of words. It was a relatively quiet movie as far as like speaking goes.
Yeah.
There was a lot of
I didn't say that, but I would agree with that.
It felt weird. The thing I will say, definitely, the costuming was amazing. The effects were phenomenal. The effects, all of them, the magic that Charlize Theron as the Evil Queen was doing was just awesome. The Mirror Man looked really cool and was like kind of weirdly ominous. And, you know, I thought a lot of it was commendable and really good. But yeah, felt really flat. We just kind of, Melissa and I walked out and both of us were like, well, that was a movie, you know, like there's not much else to say about that one.
Yeah. I mean, you see the only reason to really see it is Charlize. I mean, her performance is amazing. I mean, I've read some articles though, where people didn't like her screaming. They didn't like, they thought that she was over the top. I thought she was pretty right on. I mean, of course she was a caricature, but I mean, that was kind of absolutely what you expected.
I thought she was good. It's hard to buy her in the like not hot role. Like, oh yeah, she's clearly not as attractive as any other woman in the world, you know, like it's just that was a little weird. But I mean, she's a great actress, so it really, that didn't bother me.
She was definitely the high point of that film, you know. I mean, she was incredible in it. The problem was,
sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I mean, I just felt like the overall plot of the film was so cut and dry, and we all knew what was coming, you know. And unfortunately, it has a pretty good buildup, but then the whole latter half of the movie, it doesn't really go anywhere. You know, that last, like the siege of the, spoiler alert, the siege of the palace, just say that, was so weak. And like, you know, why would anyone follow Snow White into combat? It was just like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no way, go fuck yourself. Like,
which by the way, they kept harping on like, oh, this is the true Snow White tale. Like, I went back and read about the true Snow White tale. Melissa's actually read it, and like, none of that shit's in the real Snow White. Like, she never leads a group into battle against the... Like, that never happens in any of the Snow White tales. There's no weird love triangles in any of the Snow White tales. Like, none of that happens. It just was...
Yeah, the love triangle was so forced. I mean, I wanted to gag on it. I mean, it was horrible. There was a lot right with the movie. Let's not pretend that it wasn't like, you know, amazing with the special effects and cinematography and all of that.
Yeah.
But
the dwarves are good. And I actually think Chris Hemsworth was pretty good. He didn't bother me in his role. I just, he just didn't work with Kristen Stewart, you know, which isn't
And the brother, the evil brother. I thought he was really good.
He was.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Is that the
albino guy?
Is that the dude from the Tom Hanks church movie? The weird priest guy?
I don't know. I don't think it's the same guy.
It's not the same guy, okay.
He's just a different albino. Different albino character.
He was good, yeah. Definitely creepy, so he was good in that
kind. You know what was funny during Snow White? For some reason, I think I was like kind of a little drowsy during the beginning of the film. But I didn't really catch that the Legolas archer character, I thought that was Snow White's little brother.
I did too.
Did you too?
At the very beginning, the film,
Yeah, halfway through the film when they started making out, I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, it's getting all Game of Thrones. Like, they're totally making out with each other. I don't understand. And then my wife's like, that's not her little brother. You're stupid. I'm like, oh, okay.
That is a very wife thing to do. to add that you're stupid.
So I would say, Scott, I know you asked on the site, but to me, this is more of a rent, I think, if you've got a good TV to watch it on, because it's just for $30 to take you and your wife for a date or something is kind of...
You're a date or your wife, just either one, Scott, if you're feeling frisky.
Well, you never know.
Maybe $45 then, right?
Hey!
There you go. Hey, tub of popcorn with a hole cut in the bottom. Woo!
Oh, you gotta be careful. No.
Did you really? And then, is that payback for not making fun of me saying cockpit yesterday? Or not yesterday, a couple days ago?
What?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Well, I was on my best behavior the other day, and now I've actually gotten rest back in my life, so I'm crazy.
Awesome.
All right, well, so Snow White, okay, pretty okay, I guess is what you would say at the end of the day, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I mean, it was it was okay.
I've seen things where I've walked out of the theater and been like, that was a waste of $30 and 2 hours of my life, and Snow White wasn't that. It was just like, all right. It was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about Game of Thrones, guys. HBO series. It's in season 2 right now, right?
Yeah, season 2 actually just ended. Yeah, I haven't had HBO in a really long time. And everybody, a lot of our buddies on Twitter, a lot of our followers and just people we know have been like, why aren't you watching this? Why aren't you watching this? I'm like, HBO is expensive. I don't love cable right now. I hate to give like big cable any more money. I'm like really on the fence about all that. But I don't know. I got some nice little old lady who ended up getting me HBO for pretty cheap. So I ended up with HBO and HBO Go, which is how I watched Game of Thrones. And my wife and I watched both seasons in a little less than a week. So it was a whole lot of stabbing and a whole lot of snow. And stuff, and it was awesome, and I really enjoy it, and I can understand why there are so many rabid fans for this series now. But in Matt's defense, the names and the locations, you need like I got an app for my iPad. No, I got an app for my iPad that has character bios and map locations of all the cities, and it's pretty cool because as I'm watching the show, I'm able to like click on like, oh, this is where, you know, this is where the wall is in relation to, you know, the fucking Khaleesi's location or Khaleesa, whatever. So it's
Khaleesi.
Khaleesi, is it? Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm really bad with the names, by the way. Like every 10 minutes, I'm like, what's that dude's name? My wife's like, just shut up.
yeah, that's about how it is with me and Dave watching it too. I'm always like, shh.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
Well, I mean, so many of the names are so similar. So definitely you need like a cheat sheet when you watch the show. But other than that, like in terms of, you know, the cinematography and the acting and the overall structure of it, I really like it. I mean, it's slow and, you know, it is basically all character development, but I'm really enjoying it. So.
Yeah, I think if you've read the books, you have a better handle on the lore, because you've just sat with it longer, you know, because I mean, if you've read five books of something, you kind of understand where things are. So yeah, I mean, it's really exciting for me as someone who's read the books to actually see it come to life on the screen, because I don't know. I mean, there's so much that's going to happen and you're waiting for it. And it's just really cool to, you know, revisit it. Cause once you put the book down, you know, you move on, blah, blah, blah. It's just really cool to see it come back. And the way that it's cast and the way that the actors act out the roles. I mean, it's so similar to how I had imagined it. So to me, it's like the coolest thing ever. Yeah, and then the music and
That's pretty, a lot of people that have read all the books and have actually watched the series, they highly endorse the series because everyone's saying like, this is pretty much exactly what I envisioned and is perfectly casted. And, you know, we went on IMDb and kind of looked up a lot of the cast, and most of them, not most of them, but a good number of them are unknowns, like, you know, Jon Snow and all of Ned's kids. And all those kids have really never been in anything other than Game of Thrones. And they really took their time in casting all those characters. And I think it shows.
Well, I think it's interesting that so many of the cable channels now are making really high development quality shows. I mean, honestly, there is not a show on any of the big movie networks that I don't like. I mean, Magic City, Borgia, I don't know. There's a bunch, but it's interesting that I feel like the cable channels that you don't want to endorse by spending your money, they're actually producing higher quality stuff than like networks, for example.
Yeah. Well, I heard a statistic, and this could be totally wrong, so feel free to like look it up. But I remember reading this the other day that the reason why HBO doesn't doesn't give you HBO Go for like $15 a month like a Netflix is because they have these like incredibly lucrative contracts with big cable, where I think they're roping in upwards of $1 billion a month is the statistics I saw. And there's no way they could ever hit that with a subscription of $15.
I don't think it's quite that high, but yeah, I read the same thing, and they said that basically if they decided to open it up, that they would end up losing money.
Yeah. So, but anyway, if you're on the fence about Game of Thrones, season 2 just finished, HBO Go works perfectly. I think whoever designed the streaming through Xbox Live, I think it streams at a better quality than Netflix. It looked crystal clear for me, and that's through, you know, a somewhat shitty wireless connection, so...
So Scott, let's get into this.
You want to? Okay. So I think I get really fired up when E3 comes around, you know, and I think part of the problem is with the conference itself. Part of the problem is also with the fact that like nothing is available, you know, so like we hear all this news about these games and you can't even get like really when I'm checking out games and I'm doing research, there's only like three things I care about. I want to know when it's out. I want to know what the price is. And I want to see gameplay footage, not video. I really don't even want to see like an employee playing the game. Like I want to see a guy playing the game. Like I want to see real gameplay footage, because that's like in the end, like no matter what you're doing on stage, like girls with side boob or whatever, like I'm going to be in my house sitting on the couch playing the game. And like the Just Dance 4 dancer girls are not going to be in the room with me. I'm going to be playing by myself.
I'm not going to be in the room with you, maybe.
Yeah, I want to see the game. I want to see the game like for what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like I obviously agree with that. I saw that with this year's E3, there was a lot of like it was kind of like lackluster. And I guess part of the problem with that is that it has to happen every year, whether or not somebody has something to say or not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Microsoft has to show up every year, even if it's like, oh, we're working on stuff, but it's really like not ready yet. We're not really ready to talk about, oh, we have to talk about it. Okay. Let's go talk. You know, let's just say something, you know,
yeah.
We'll get up there. We'll bring Usher out. He'll dance a little bit and then we'll just bounce, you know, we're out of here.
You know what I'm saying? Not good.
But see, like I thought that was funny. Like I enjoyed that. Like that for me was like, I was falling asleep at my desk and then like, it's like Usher appears on stage and I'm like, really? That's hilarious. You know what I mean?
You know what that told me though, actually, is how much power Harmonix owns in the music world.
That's great though. I mean, absolutely. Kudos to them for doing that. You know what I mean? And like doing something like that, even at E3, shows this gaming industry, interactive entertainment, it's not just about like the core shooter fan anymore. And I think,
thank God.
I think that at the same time, breeds a lot of like anger. You know what I mean? Like the hatred for Nintendo is like palpable. Like I can taste it when I'm watching these conferences. And I don't
it taste like?
Like it just tastes like sweat.
Boba balls.
It tastes like sweat and like KFC that's been sitting in somebody's car for 5 hours. You know what I mean? Like I used to be
stale
like a Nintendo.
Yuck.
Yeah. I used to be like a Nintendo fanboy. I'm probably not so much anymore, but I'm more like, I guess I would say that like while I don't think their titles appeal to me like as much as they used to, I still am a fan of the fact that like they are doing things. I just want like I want all three companies to keep doing stuff because I feel like they push one another.
Mm-hmm.
They like they inspire the other companies to like keep doing something, because I think if it was just Microsoft, we would be on like Call of Duty 10 right now, and we would have nothing else.
It's true.
Did I cut this part out of the E? As I said, literally the same exact thing in ours.
You may have cut it.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, the point about
Friends
Nintendo.
Forever.
Yeah, exactly.
But Microsoft in collaboration with Lionhead made Fable.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I'm saying, like, my point is that, like, there would be less, like, Apple and Microsoft need each other. Like, Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft need each other. Like, yes. whether they want to agree on that point or not, this competition only benefits the consumer. What I guess I don't understand is, like, why, like, when Nintendo does a press conference, why does it have to be, like, fuck them, I fucking hate them? Why can't it just be like, I'm not interested in this? Is it that we used to like Nintendo and we're mad that they're not creating things that we like anymore? You know, because like games come out all the time, but Nintendo announces something and like the reactions are so passionate.
Yeah. Well, I think Nintendo, in a sense, did that to themselves. So like dating back to even like the early years of their history, that Nintendo seal of quality was sort of the bastard child of the industry, because it cost, you know, developers so much money in order to get that seal on those Nintendo games. And Nintendo always said, well, we don't have to conform. We don't have to do things the way the industry wants us to do things. But in doing that, they also kind of isolated themselves. You know, the fact that they're not going to go HD, the fact that they're, you know, they're not going to allow, they're still going to do friend codes with the Wii U. Things like that are just kind of like, well, why? Why are you not giving people the things that they want? Like, you know, easy access to their friends, HD graphics. Like, this is now. This isn't the future anymore. Just embrace it and quit trying to, like, you know, stick to these old-fashioned ways of doing things.
In a way, they have a walled garden the same way Apple has a walled garden. It's just that people, like, when I say people, I mean like people of our demographic like that stuff better. But I don't think Nintendo is catering to, like, quote, us, if that makes any sense, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, for, quote, the internet.
Well, I don't know, like, to be fair, I don't know if Nintendo knows who they're catering toward. I mean, they have so many things geared toward so many different target audiences.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But I mean, like, I get bored watching shooter trailers for, you know, during Microsoft and Sony's conferences. Like, I see a Mario game and I'm like, oh, okay, sure. But then I see, like, another shooter on Xbox and I'm like, okay, sure. Same reaction, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm similarly disinterested for both. But for whatever reason, the reaction to Nintendo is so much stronger. This is something that I don't think came up in the podcast, but I saw Hillary tweet, like, you were excited for Sing. You saw that and you're
I am excited for Sing.
You're like, I love to sing. Singing's fun. Like, I totally want to do that. You know that there were people, like, live blogging, like, what the fuck is this bullshit? Like, I don't want, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, there are, like, people like, that's only for drunk people.
Yeah.
I saw Sing and I was like, man, that's Nintendo doing what they do best right now, which is, like, setting up a perfect party atmosphere and then making it just a little bit better than what exists. Like, you know, what's the karaoke game on PlayStation that's like whatever it is? What's it called?
Like SingStar.
SingStar or whatever. I was like, this is Nintendo taking the opportunity of having a screen in front of you and letting you become, like, I thought that was perfect, where you're going to face your friends, you know, and, like, literally do karaoke with the words on the screen, and they've got dancers going in the background with you and stuff. And
yeah,
I thought that was pretty perfect. But
it's just, I guess it's like the stigma, because, like, when I watched that, you know, I watched their conference and then I watched Sony's. If Nintendo had made the same AR book game, but it wasn't about Harry Potter, people would freak out. But because it was Harry Potter, there's, like, such a boner jam for this product that, like, I just don't understand. You know
boner
what I mean?
But if jam.
It, yeah. If it was, like, Princess Peach's, like, magical fun time, like, people would lose their minds. I saw, like, a video from another video game website where they were interviewing the guy demoing, like, the dev demoing the Harry Potter game. And, like, it was so condescending that I guess I don't understand, like...
The guy was. The interviewee, right?
The interviewer was...
Oh, yeah, the interviewer. Yeah, he was a dick. I was like, what is going on in this interview? He was like, oh, yeah, and, like, great, whatever. And the guy's like, look, you can, like, turn around and see the back of stage. Right? And he's like, oh, good job, guy. And I was like, what the hell is happening in this interview?
And that kind of brings me to my next point. My next point is sort of that, like, for 50 weeks out of the year, we all love each other. And when I say we, I'm talking about now the positive side of the gaming community. We're all like, yes, community, like gender equality, like, you know, equality in gaming for 2 weeks, like become cheerleaders for the things we love. We demonize the things we hate. It's
It's weird, well, you have a very positive attitude, though. I mean, there's a lot of people that'll never be on that level. A lot of people that don't think clearly when it comes to things that they're passionate about. And instead of just being passionate and loving the things you love, they turn that the rest of their energy toward being negative towards the thing they hate. Well, they don't even have to, you know, just keep your mouth shut. If you don't like something, you don't like it, you know?
I agree. I mean, while I'm not stoked for like the Harry Potter game and I'm still not sold on the Wii U, I still think it's exciting just to see that these things are happening, you know, that we live in a time where these products are coming out. This could be the start of something. And then if it's the start of nothing, like we haven't lost anything.
Well, I think I deleted this entire conversation, but we talked about how, you know, the thing that's important to me about the Wii U is that we wouldn't have Smart Glass if it wasn't for the Wii U. Like that, sure. That kind of stuff wouldn't, Microsoft wouldn't have started innovating on a product that they thought they had no window for. But I think Microsoft's smart enough to know that Nintendo pushes a boundary and that they should maybe at least look at it. The Kinect has been a wild success for Microsoft, and an argument wasn't even thought about until they did the Wii Waggle controllers, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, like, you're right. And I like this idea that innovation sort of spurs innovation. Like, I like Ash's point. We're just, you know, the gaming community just needs to agree that we're going to like the things we like and not like the things we don't like. You know what I mean? But these games, like, well, still need to happen.
Unfortunately, some blogs don't exist, you know, without this, the vitriol that needs to be spit so that they can hate on something. You know, like, they need to be able to be like, this sucks, so that they can get some comments going and, you know, hit your on their website.
No, you're right. And I'm not talking about like any outlet or any person in particular. I'm just saying that, like, you have to, like, basically take the stuff you don't want to see along with the stuff you do want to see. And I think that creates part of the problem.
And
you know?
to that point, and like what Hillary and I actually, I think really the only argument that happened last time, I agree in a sense with you, Hillary, that, like, you know, when a game comes out and they sell it as, and the thing is, when I saw the Beyond stuff, I saw it in isolation. I didn't actually watch it during the selling point of Sony's thing. I saw, like, I watched the game stuff.
Just watched the trailer, right.
And then I watched a podcast about the game, and they talked about their gameplay and what they were doing in it. So I was a little bit more excited about it. But when a game comes out and sells it as, this is going to be the most life-changing experience you've ever had.
Yes.
Then, I can agree that you're going to get disappointed when you watch 2 minutes of Juno staring at you and not saying anything, you know.
That was awful.
I mean, like, it's the same thing. Like, everyone does it, though. Apple comes out every year and they're like, we built the most magical device.
Yeah.
It's the pinnacle of engineering. Like, it's the most beautiful thing we've ever created. And then next year they come back.
It's an iteration on an iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like, but don't you think that people, it's because people use these brands as part of their identity?
Yeah.
It's like, doesn't that say something about me as a gamer if I'm, you know, in the, I don't know, EA camp or the Ubisoft camp, or, I mean, in technology, I'm an Xbox player. That's all I play. Right. Or I'm a PC player. I feel like the reason people get so up in arms about things is because it's like a click mentality almost.
I want to
associate with this gang. You know?
Yeah, I want to pose a question to you guys, and because I started to think about this, and it's a good thing you brought that up, is that, like, preference in gaming is sort of becoming like your taste in music. You don't always want to talk about your taste in music. You just want to, like, listen to your music, you know? And when somebody comes up to you on the street and you're like, what kind of music do you listen to? Like, that's a really hard question to answer most of the time.
Yeah,
you know,
you're going to get judged on that.
Yeah, and you don't always want to answer that question. And if you go like, oh, well, I like all kinds of music, and people are like, oh, well, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say that, you know? Like, like, it's so ridiculous. That's why I get so fired up. And I thought we saw, like, a lot of games this year, and, like, yes, a lot of them were iterations, but sometimes if you're excited about something, like, you know, Ash, you like Gears of War, like, Gears of War 4 is going to come out, and you're going to get it, and, like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, no problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
we have docile Ash on the podcast today. Yep. Uh-huh. I am. I'm gonna buy it.
That's true.
Judgment not with me.
No, the judgment's not necessary is what I guess I'm trying to say. From and just some notes about the podcast. Yeah, like, Matt, you're right. Like, Medal of Honor. Like, I did like that game. I'm going to get the next one. I also don't understand why Zombie U has to be called Zombie U. Why can't it just be called...
Did you see the hacking?
The hacking? Yeah.
That was cool to me. That was like, that's exactly what I want. Oops, sorry.
Whoops.
Cut that.
I thought that was...
That was cool
right.
to me. That is exactly what I want that gamepad to do, which is like, I can now pull it up and I get a whole different experience all of a sudden on the screen and on the gamepad, and it's a different way to play where I'm like, I can see what's coming at me and I'm trying to get out of a room, you know, like that's what that should do, I feel like.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool, especially the part where it's like you were hacking and then when you put the controller down, the guy like looked over his shoulder for the zombies coming.
Yeah.
And then when you picked it back up again, the camera like went back to the pad and everything. Like, I thought that was great, but then why do you have to call the game Zombie U?
I don't know.
Like, because I feel like it takes something away from the title, right?
It does.
I agree.
I think you took out the part where about 5 minutes we're all wee.
Yeah.
Wee.
And I think
it got a little loopy, guys, at some
point. Yeah. A little bit. Let's see, something I don't know if you guys talked about Dance Central 3, but like I thought that was, I'm still excited for that because I still play Dance Central.
I don't absolutely. Can you guys explain to me what the innovation in it is? Because they talked about, like, I saw our friend Ali Thresher was like, oh, I'm so glad they got that out there and you guys are really excited about this, and I was like, did I miss something?
The cool thing is Allison and Eric Pope, who Eric is the community manager and Allison was the community manager at Harmonix, and now she's part of the Dance Central team. But they are actually, they wrote the story modes. There actually is going to be like a career/story mode with an actual plot in Dance Central 3 that follows like the career of your crew and stuff. So that's the big, addition to the addition of the story. And I think that's awesome.
I must have just missed that because I was like, what did they announce? I just thought it was like another iteration on Dance Central.
And judging from the gameplay footage that I actually saw, it really looks like they are pushing the dances like to be like a little bit harder than they were in the current game. Because I think people are starting to like master what's in the current version of the game. And I think, you know, stepping it up, doing the things like the decades and stuff like that, I think that's a good like angle to take on the next generation or the next iteration of the game. I would like to now say some controversial things about Watch Dogs.
Yes.
If that's okay with you guys. Damn it.
Sure.
let me preface this by saying that, like, yes, this game looks great. I will buy it. It's awesome looking. But at the same time, like, it's from Ubisoft Montreal. You know, it's a stealth assassin kind of, you know, it's Assassin's Creed. It's the future version of Assassin's Creed. But I'm okay with that. But I'm just saying, like, when I saw the video, I was like, this seems a lot like Assassin's Creed if it took place in the future.
Mixed with like Deus Ex, maybe
mixed with Splinter Cell, because they made that game too. Like, the HUD looks like the Animus from Assassin's Creed. Hacking cell phones is something they did in Assassin's Creed 1 when it was called eavesdropping. Like, there's a thing where you had to identify an associate at the club that's Eagle Vision. Like, there was the scene where the guy actually kills the guy at the car accident, which is sort of like reminded me of Assassin's Creed, where it's like the assassination conversation, like, minus, you know, saying like Requiesca de Pace or whatever, like it was the same kind of thing. And then at the end of the trailer, it was like, everything is connected, connection is power. And I was like, oh, nothing is true, everything is permitted. That's crazy. You know what I mean? So,
wow, like, you need to break that down.
So, like, what I'm trying to say
is
that
thinking about this for a while.
I thought about it all day. Despite all that, and I'm saying, like, that's why I'm saying that, like, sometimes it's okay because. It's like when a band puts out a new record. Ubisoft Montreal is making a new game. Well, of course, I expect it to be like stealth and like gadgets and all kinds of cool stuff, but like I'm still excited for it.
Yeah.
It still looks like a great game. I think the thing that they're adding to this, like you guys talked about before, was the, you know, this whole idea of like hopefully the co-op and like if it really is open world, you know, because you could say Assassin's Creed is open world, but still kind of like you're constrained to doing certain things at certain times. If they can do more than what Assassin's Creed can do, which at the time was a lot. Like, this will be even more exciting, and I'm totally, like, on board with that, too.
I have to say that I wish that game... I am equally... This would not have been detrimental. It's not detrimental It was not detrimental that the guy pulled out a gun and it went into bullet time and he started shooting perfect bullets at everybody.
I didn't understand that.
But there was part of me that wished he just, like, hacked the shit and then, like, jumped in a fucking sewer and ran, like... Part of me felt a little like, oh, it's a shooter. I just hope that doesn't go straight shooter, and I feel like it might. I feel like when I watched the gunfight, I was like, oh, you're going to be really stellar at shooting a gun. And that made me feel less excited, but not super less excited, if that makes sense.
If you take like I said, if you take what you're good at and then you just try to do more or make it better, like, to me that seems like it's okay, because from the games that that studio has made and like what you might come to expect from that studio, I think that's okay. You know, if they came out and they were like, Ubisoft Montreal is making a rhythm game, you'd be like, wait a second. You know what I mean? Like, like that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't hate all shooters. It just was one of those where I thought it was like a crazy unique game. And then I saw that happen and I was like, and it might be Max Payne Overload too. Fair warning. I've been playing a lot of that game and yeah. I'm not very happy with it. So like when I saw that happen, I just was like, oh, bullet time. Oh man. And then like, but it's okay. It'll probably be stellar still.
Yeah. And you guys, I guess you guys talked about this. This could potentially be a next gen game as well.
They are saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully like, a game like this and like Star Wars 1313, hopefully they don't suffer from like next gen first, you know, generation blues or whatever, like first generation game on a next gen console.
Did you get to see all the gameplay stuff from Star Wars?
I saw like a couple of videos where they did them on the show floor, like the interview, like there was like an interview format where they showed videos during the discussion. I thought it looked like a little bit like Uncharted, you know, in terms of like the cutscenes and stuff like that, but like otherwise, the game looked great. At a certain point, if you consider like E3 to be like, you know, a marketing demonstration or a press event or whatever, like you don't really need to say much to me other than like, hey, we're making a Star Wars game. And I'll be like, okay, I'll pre-order it. Like, yeah. You don't need to sell me on Star Wars. Like, I'm going to get it. Good or bad. Like,
did you
whatever.
Get Star Wars Connect yet?
No, I haven't. I was hoping that the price would go down and it still hasn't, which baffles my mind because I heard it wasn't very good. That's you horrible. Know?
Do you play Bioshock at all?
I played the first one.
Okay, because I'm thinking about your point about, you know, specializing and, you know, kind of sticking with what you're good at, and I'm a little bit nervous about Bioshock Infinite just because it's not going to be the same thing, and it looks so different than the other two Bioshock games, which I'm a huge fan of. So I mean, it can backfire too. I mean, I'm really hesitant. I'm probably going to buy it, so they'll probably have my money, but I'm really okay with Ubisoft doing what they're good at. I'm a happy buyer.
I really like kind of following the legacy of certain studios, you know, because it is like bands or record labels now. You know, like, you know what to expect, but you want that at the same time. Like, even if it's not 100% new or different than something you've seen before, like, it's still, like, mm-hmm. great.
Well, good.
I was going to say, I know, like, that, you know, Hillary had, like, came into Beyond with, like, a different sort of mindset going into that video or whatever. But like, obviously for me, when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's Quantic Dream. I know exactly what this game is going to be like because I've played all of the other Quantic Dream games that are out there. You know, that again, for me was an easy sale, you know, to pick up something like that.
And I was going to say that, you know, I think to your point of studios having a legacy and kind of expecting things from them, that I think that's almost where Max Payne fell short with me in Rockstar, because it was a Rockstar game mm-hmm. and I get it, and it's this very short, linear, not epic, crazy story game with like, it just kind of happens and then you're just done, and I was like, this doesn't feel at all like playing a Rockstar game, you know.
In the case of System Shock, that was like two studios split into two other studios and then both studios started making games, and like just so happens that both those games are great, both those franchises. But then like with Max Payne, it's like the studio making Max Payne split, and then like the rest of the studio took over, you know, what was left. And I think, you know, maybe some of that was lost in translation because, you know, Remedy still has their DNA in Alan Wake, and it still feels like a Remedy game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think we've experienced that expectation setting with BioWare too. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
They're probably the poster child for that.
Yeah, you're right, and that's why I'm very nervous about watching like too much advertising before I get to actually see and play a game, you know, for that reason. I don't know if it came up in the last discussion, I had a question for Ash. Like, I don't know if you talked about, you know, Gears of War being developed by a new studio, and like if you're nervous about that, or like how you feel about.
I'm a little nervous because I mean, like, I really feel like that was Epic's baby and they worked on it for so long, you know, mm-hmm. and those guys, like, that was what they did for, gosh, over 8 years of their life, you know.
Right.
And then them handing that off to another studio, even though they're still, you know, they still have a lot of creative input. It is going to feel different and it is going to be different. And you know, you got to kind of, you got to think of it almost like a spin-off of a television show. You know, it's like, it's not going to be the same thing. You know, it's going to be not going to be as good as Buffy, but it'll be Angel, you know, like it'll still be good, but it won't be, you know, there's still some creative minds that were attached to Epic over Working With People Can Fly. But, cool. You know, it's going to be different. But at the same time, it's like, would you rather not have it at all? Or would you rather have something that has, you know, echoes of the original? And I'd rather go with the echoes than not have anything at all. So
cool. Awesome. Yeah, I totally wanted to get your opinion on that. Matt, do you have an opinion, similar opinion about Halo? I mean, I know you're
I actually felt a lot better after seeing what I saw, even with the Bionicles.
Sorry.
You mean the poopy
that.
Toys?
Yeah.
That was actually
Which I still, funny. I went back and watched the video. I don't totally agree with you, but that's okay.
Most people don't. It's okay.
Yeah, I know. I would. No, I feel good about it. You know, I think this is kind of 343's chance to do something with the series that by 3 I felt was so muddled and confused at that point that, you know, somebody needs to clean it up and maybe 343 can
do it. Do you know what 343 did before this? Did they do any?
They were a Microsoft studio, weren't they?
Yeah, oh, okay. I believe they were assembled by Microsoft.
Yeah,
they were essentially like handpicked by Microsoft from what I heard through the grapevine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is correct.
Let's see. I have just a couple more questions. Did you guys catch at the end of Sony's press conference, they cut away to like two hosts standing up in the bleachers. And the first thing they said was like, man, it's really amazing how The Last of Us was nothing like Uncharted. Did you catch that at all?
No,
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it was like if you were streaming it online, like they had like two, you know, like kind of like Sony's Major Nelson or whatever. Like there were two people standing there like talking about what they just saw. And I guess the last thing they showed like at the press was The Last of Us. They were talking to like you, the audience, if you're streaming. They'd be like, man, The Last of Us was amazing. Wasn't that great? And the other guy was like, yeah, you know, like, I can't believe like how innovative it was. And the girl was like, yeah. And it was like nothing like Uncharted. And I was like, you really didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
You're not fooling anybody. You don't need to say that. It's so unnecessary.
It still bothers me that it's a fungal infection.
Sorry.
I mean, the zombie thing is.
I really missed a really good, there's a fungus among us joke last week. So I'll make it now.
You're a really fun guy.
Oh, that's even better.
At least they don't seem... The thing that I'm okay with the fungal thing over zombies is that it seems like they are of like some sort of free will and can think and do things. Yeah. They're not just a mass of things that you're shooting.
It's actually a Nintendo crossover.
They're like walking yeast infected.
You like...
Did you guys catch the Far Cry 3 multiplayer? Hey-o, look at that. Did you guys see that Far Cry 3 multiplayer? There was like I think it was during Ubisoft's press conference where they brought like four people up on stage and everybody played through like a section of Far Cry 3 together. I'm not really like a Far Cry fan, but I thought that was cool. You know, all of us being like, with the exception of Ash and I, all of us being physically distributed, I thought it was kind of cool to like see people play the game and like communicate. And I feel like a demo like that kind of got me excited for the same reason why I'm excited for like Mass Effect multiplayer, because we all get to like play and work together.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you guys didn't see it, it doesn't really make a difference. But I thought that was, I like the idea of like, you know, we always talk a lot about cooperative multiplayer as opposed to competitive multiplayer and like why that makes games like Borderlands and Mass Effect's multiplayer so good. Mm-hmm. And I thought they did a good job with that. Yeah, I thought that demo was pretty good because obviously it was all rehearsed, but they brought four people out on stage and everybody was like shouting at each other and communicating and stuff like that. And I thought that was kind of cool too.
Before,
even not being a Far Cry fan.
Before we get into the questions, I have one question for you, which is how did you feel? I know you're a gigantic Dead Space fan. How did you feel about the Dead Space preview?
You guys kind of got it, you know, like how I felt. You know, I'm a little nervous about the fact that it's going to be. I think, Matt, you said how it was more like jump moments and not like a sort of like a building tension, you know, because in the original Dead Space, like you were frightened by like environmental audio and nothing. You know what I mean? Like that's all it really took. Or like a shadow would pass by a wall and you would turn around and nothing would be there. And I'm worried about how that will translate. But, you know, like I am a Dead Space fan, so I will get the game and I'll be excited to play it. Like I agree with Ash. Like I really like their weapons, the way the armor's designed, stuff like that. as far as like trade-offs go, if the trade-off is like I get to play games with my friends, I can get on board with that.
Well, let's get into the questions.
So what was our official question these past
two? The official question was, what was your biggest surprise of E3 and what was your biggest disappointment? And we had a number of our listeners that replied to this, and we appreciated so much. As always, usually a few days before the podcast, we'll shoot out a Twitter question, and we'll also put it up on Facebook and every other place where we can put it. And if you reply, most of the time we'll read your reply on the episode. So we thank you so much, and we have some good ones this week.
So Platinum Fist, Carlo says, biggest surprise, Watch Dogs, biggest disappointment, Nintendo's fireworks finale, and not gaining access to the Bethesda booth.
Yes. Carlos, by the way, Scott, owns a DeLorean.
I see that in the Twitter picture. That's incredible.
I know. And we're incredibly
jealous
of that.
He's the third person I know that has a DeLorean.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, because there's someone online named Andrew Wells who has one, and then Holly has one now.
What?
From Crab Cat. Yeah, Holly has a DeLorean.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I know.
What?
It's crazy. It's
like,
awesome.
It's my dream car. That's what I've always wanted since I was
a little
incredible.
Kid. That's incredible.
Yeah.
No, anyway. I think it's cool they're coming back. Or they never really went out of style, I guess. But yeah. Good job, Platinum Fist.
Indeed.
That's incredible.
Justin Banks, who, by the way, wrote an article for the website about the Batman Harley Quinn DLC.
Yes.
So
thank you, Justin.
Excellent review. Yes. Go read it on the website. Biggest surprise, Ubisoft's awkward press conference. Biggest disappointment, no new game consoles, not counting Wii U. Yeah, it was something I made a note about, but I didn't really get it because I didn't know who like that Tabasco sauce guy was. So like the humor the humor was lost on me.
Tabasco sauce.
Seriously? But you live on the internet, right?
I really don't.
We all just said that our lives revolve around the internet. You don't know who Tabasco is?
I don't. And to me, the most awkward thing about Ubisoft's press conference was like all the girls in tank tops that came out at the beginning and like with their boobs hanging out. Like I thought that was like kind of bizarre, but
bizarre. Just to clarify.
No, they're not bizarre.
Not bizarre. What?
Total Recall boobs are kind of bizarre.
Oh yeah. Tri-boob. Yeah,
tri-boob is definitely bizarre. Jimmy at Drakmarth, who by the way helped me with the Mass Effect multiplayer achievement for the weekend. Thank you, Jimmy. He says Beyond and Watch Dogs surprise, disappointed by too many of the same IPs, little innovation, and no one took E3 and ran with it. So it sounds like he is saying the same things that we are.
Yep.
Do you think E3 will get better next year, or do you think that it's on just kind of a decline?
I think next year is the console announce E3. So I think next year is going to be huge.
Do you?
Probably.
Yeah, I do. Everything I've been hearing is saying Q4 next year will be the new Xbox. So I'm thinking it's probably going to be announced at E3.
You don't think GDC is kind of dethroning E3 a little bit?
Well, I mean, I think GDC is a lot more exclusive. I think I think a lot of great information comes from GDC, but I also think that's more of a learning conference from everything I've gathered as well, right?
It's where the Wii U got announced, isn't it?
Did it? I don't really recall. I don't really follow Nintendo
News. Tokyo Game Show? Okay.
It could have been.
Kittler C says, biggest surprise, Watch Dogs. Biggest disappointment, Nintendo.
Ooh, I'm getting a lot of these. So
maybe it is a matter of expectations. Being brought up with something and then not being what you want it to be anymore.
Do you think it was partly that Nintendo announced the Wii U previous, and then when they get to E3, instead of being like, this is why it's so awesome, they just were like, here's a few things about the Wii U and then we're going to move on?
Well, I do agree with you that they made a couple of stumbles by first saying that they had a lot to talk about and then didn't talk about anything. Mm-hmm. And then also ending the conference by going like, and we have one last surprise.
Yeah,
and it was a fireworks show from the video game, which was like confusing as well.
Yeah, it was odd.
Yeah.
Nintendo's hard to place because like you can look at other developers and you kind of get a sense of what they're trying to accomplish. And with Nintendo, it's like they're trying to do it all. And that's kind of hard to swallow. They're not really specializing to me.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
And I think a guy like Miyamoto, I don't want to say he doesn't care, but I think he really just like sits in his office and he's like, I want to make a game about this today. And then he just makes a game. You know what I mean? Like,
he is the Stan Lee of video games to me. Like, he's just a dude who's been around for friggin' ever. and just can say or do whatever he wants at this point. Everybody's going to love him regardless of what happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know. Yeah. So Mr. Slick, Robert Freemering, says, I said it right before, and I hope I just said it right again. I don't remember.
I think you did. I think you said it correctly.
Surprises, sounded good to me.
Surprises that hopefully get implemented right. Wonder Book and Smart Glass. Oh, my God. Beyond. Watch Dogs and The Last of Us.
Good ones. Those are the ones we're excited about, too.
Yeah.
Next up is Melissa Kay, also known as the Quad Skater, and you can hear her on Reset Transmission. Our friend's podcast, and she says, your mom.
Now, is this what she's excited about or what she's disappointed in?
I think it's kind of a mixture of both. So she's both excited and disappointed in my mother.
She's talking about your mom, Ash, for sure.
Yeah, my mom specifically. Yes. Sorry, Melissa. Jeez.
So as always, guys, thank you for listening. This is Rated NA episode 63. I hope everybody had a good time. Scott, I hope you got your E3 aggressions out.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you guys listening to my rants. And once again, we want to give a big thanks to Jimmy Henson, a.k.a. Big Giant Circles, for our brand new theme song, which we're still rocking hardcore.
I listened to that thing probably 6 times while I was editing the podcast. And I had new headphones, so I put them on. I was like, I'm going to listen to this loud.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
I listened to it in the car at work.
I'm a little biased. I'm a little biased, but I really like it.
Yeah, I love it.
I do, too.
Even my amazing wife was like, what is this? It's really good. I'm like, it's our new theme song. We're awesome.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So thank you, Jimmy Henson.
So thank you, Jimmy Henson, definitely. And you guys can catch us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate. Go to Facebook.com/NerdAppropriate. We're on Google Plus doing absolutely nothing. And we have a Goodreads group, which we're trying to decide what our first book is going to be. And we really want to get that moving because I'm enjoying reading a lot on my Kindle now. And I want to keep it going with some NerdAppropriate books.
Yes.
You can email us all, Hillary, Scott, Ash, or Matt at NerdAppropriate. And that's Hillary with one L. And you can follow Hillary on Twitter, Hillary Heskett, 1L, 2Ts.
Very good.
What else do we have? Is that everything?
Members of our team will be at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con. And then we are setting up what's going on at PAX Prime as well. So there's a lot of that coming. Oh, and we'll probably be at Star Wars Celebration if you happen to be there.
I'll have Melissa play the role of Scott. My wife will be Scott for the weekend at Comic-Con.
Excellent.
Okay.
One of you guys has to play the role of me at Star Wars Celebration.
Okay. That works.
There you go.
Sounds good.
See you guys later. Thanks a lot.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
Hey-o.